good. Everyone doing good? Everyone feeling okay, awake, alive, well? I'm excited to be with you, 8:30. You look great. I know some of us are still a little hungover on turkey. That's okay. Oh, but it's a good day to be in church. I'm excited to be here. For those of you who don't know, my name is Pastor Emilio. I get to serve as the student pastor here at Promised Land, and it's such a joy. I'm excited because today I get to kind of hang out and talk to you for a little bit. But before we jump into the word, I just want to say welcome to everyone who's in person. I want to say welcome to everyone watching online as well. We have missed you for 4 weeks, but you are back with us. And so we're happy that you're here live. No more reruns. You get fresh, good content, good stuff. And so we're excited about that. But speaking of our online family being gone, how many of you enjoyed the last 4 weeks of At the Movies? Did y'all enjoy that series? Yeah. So did I, man. It was so good, so rich. And I tell you what, we had seen most of those movies, my wife and I, and we had never seen Coco. And after watching that, we're like, we've got to watch Coco. And so we planned on watching Coco over Thanksgiving break, but that didn't happen. But we will, I'm sure, at some point. But man, it was just such a great series. And next week, if I'm not mistaken, I think we kick off Christmas at Promised Land, our series for that. And that is always a fun time. That is always so rich. But we had this little week here in the middle where it wasn't at the movies and it wasn't quite yet December in time for Christmas and stuff. So we're like, man, let's just dive in. And so today I just kind of want to talk to you guys a little bit about our relationship with God and maybe help you become introspective in some ways and evaluate our current relationship with God. We're coming to the end of the year. The year's winding down, wrapping up. And it's a great time seasonally for all of us to look inward and to start evaluating how last year went, how 2021, how has that gone? How did it go? Were you able to stretch your faith in areas? Were you able to overcome some things? What are things that maybe held you down or bogged you down? How did you respond to certain things? How did you react to others, right? And it's a good time for us to reflect and look back. But it's also a good time for us to look forward, right, into 2022. What are some dreams that I've been dreaming? What are some goals that I have as an individual or maybe in my professional career or maybe in my relationship? It's important that we all take time to dream and think about our future, that we would sit down with your spouse or with your kids or maybe just even yourself and you would write things down. It says in Habakkuk 2:2 that you should write the vision down and make it clear and plain so that people can run with it. Because people without vision perish, the Bible says. They die. Literally, they don't have anywhere to go, and so it's important that we do that. And so one of the things that's always important that we do an evaluation, a little inventory in our life is where are we with God? I think that's a great place to start. And so today, I want to jump into that, and we're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 is kind of where I want to jump in. And if you have your Bible, you can open it to Matthew 25. If you don't, that's okay. We'll have it on the screen. But we're going to read a portion of scripture here that's called the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. That's what it's called in the NLT. Maybe for some of you that are a little more traditional and read the King James or a different translation, you might have also heard this referred to as the parable of the 10 virgins. But today we're going with the 10 bridesmaids. And so if we could put that up on the screen, Matthew 25. And Jesus here is talking to his disciples. And this is a portion of scripture where Jesus is actually going to give a lot of different parables to the disciples in an attempt to explain what the kingdom of heaven is like. And so he's giving parable after parable. And this one to me really just kind of stuck out. And I hope that over the next few moments that we could kind of unpack this scripture, look at it from a different perspective maybe than you've heard it in the past, and allow it to minister to us and speak to us in a way that we can ask ourselves, where are we currently with God? Matthew 25 says, then Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven will be like the 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, but 5 of them were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps. But the other 5 that were wise had enough But the other five were wise enough to take along extra olive oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Okay, let me pause from reading scripture and just give you some backstory. So Jesus is using an old tradition as a parable here. The tradition was that on the wedding night, 10 bridesmaids would bring lamps, and the lamps would light the path of the bride and groom from the wedding party back home. Okay, that's kind of the tradition here. They would be responsible for kind of lighting this path. So Jesus lets us know that out of the 10, five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. And he labels the two groups based on how much oil the two groups brought with them. So he says half of them were wise, half of them were foolish. The foolish ones brought just enough. The wise ones brought a little bit extra. It's important that we remember that. One group brought just enough and the other group brought extra with them. Here's how the parable continues, verse 6. It says, at midnight, they were roused by a shout. Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him. All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. But the others replied, we don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourself. Verse 10, but while they were out buying oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready, while the five foolish were out buying oil, the bridegroom came. The five wise who were ready went with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, the five that didn't have enough returned. They stood outside calling, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he called back, believe me, I don't know you. It's the end of the parable. And then Jesus says to the disciples in verse 13, so you too must keep watch, for you don't know the day or hour of my return. I want us to dive into this scripture together. And traditionally, this scripture is talked about in the context of the second coming of Christ. It's used, that scripture, especially that verse 13 there, so keep watch for no one knows the day or hour. We use it in context of Jesus is coming back and will you be ready for Jesus to come back? But I want us to take a different perspective this morning. I don't want us to look at this passage as a prophetic instruction for the second coming, but rather as a practical insight from Jesus as how we are to live our lives daily. For the next few moments, I want to preach a message to you that I've titled, Understanding the Overflow. See what I did there? Understand, overflow. Okay. Understanding the overflow. Let me pray for you really quick and then we'll jump in. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we just lift up this time to you. God, we dedicate it to you right now. God, we ask that you would just minister to us, speak to us wherever we are. I know we've all walked in here from different points of life, from different places, and we've walked in with different praises, but also different sorrows. God, wherever we are, that you would just minister to us, be here with us this morning, and that we would get to know you more than we did when we walked in. In Jesus' name, and everybody says amen. 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 Are y'all awake this morning? Amen. Hey, okay, listen, I got to talk to you about Thanksgiving a little bit. Hope all of you had a great Thanksgiving. My wife and I, we were down in Corpus Christi, Texas with her family, and we had a great Thanksgiving. It was an amazing time, and, you know, I don't know about you guys, I do enjoy Thanksgiving. It's not my favorite holiday, but I do enjoy it, and most people like eating Thanksgiving dinner or lunch whenever you do it, and that part is cool, but if I'm being honest with you, my favorite part of Thanksgiving is actually the leftovers, okay? I love eating the leftovers, okay? The food fresh is cool, but there's nothing like next day mashed potatoes, corn, and stuffing. Come on, somebody. You know what I mean? And yes, thank you for those applauses. You know what? I might gross you out a little bit, but I don't even like it steaming hot. I mean, I'll take it lukewarm. You know what I mean? Like, that's just like how I get down. Like, I love leftovers. And I think the reason that I love leftovers so much is because I come from a really large Hispanic family. And if you've heard me preach before, I'm sure that you've heard me talk about them before, but my family is so large, and one thing that I learned from my family is that when you cook food, you don't just barely cook food. Come on. You cook food. I mean, like, even if there's five people coming over, you never know who they're going to invite and who those people that they invited are going to invite. So you got to make food for like 50 people every time you cook, right? And if you ever walk into a Hispanic person's home and you open the fridge, I guarantee you they're going to have some leftovers in that fridge because they're always making more than enough. And you know, it might surprise you, okay? Next time you go, if you have a Hispanic friend or something, you know, you go over to their house and you go in their fridge, and maybe like you're looking for some butter, you're gonna pull out that butter, right? And you open it, guarantee there's not butter, and there's probably gonna be some rice or some beans or something, right? Because there's always leftovers in the fridge. And you know, why buy Tupperware whenever the grocery store gives you some for free? Come on, somebody. And so, man, but I've just learned to love leftovers because I was taught as a kid, it's better to have more than enough than not enough at all, right? And then I've applied that thing, and not only with food, but even whenever we're doing something for our student ministry, right? And we're like, how many gifts should we get? No, we need to get more. I'd rather have more merch, more t-shirts left than to not have enough and have people wanting. Or when it comes to your finances, right? And you're saving, right? We'd rather have more than enough money in our savings than not enough. And we're scrambling to make our finances work and all this stuff. Having more than enough. And I think that most of you would subscribe to that same kind of mentality, and you can fill it into wherever it fits, but this mentality that says that I don't want to be left hanging, I want to have more than enough. And I think that what we do oftentimes is we take that mentality and we apply it to so many areas of our life. But this morning I want to ask you, do you take that same mentality of having more than enough and apply it to your relationship with God? Do we live that way? I mean, you could bet your money on it that if you opened the fridge, there would be more than enough food. But if you opened your heart, would there be more than enough Holy Spirit? Would there be more than enough presence? More than enough Bible knowledge? More than enough prayer hours? Do we live in such a way that it's more than enough where we subscribe? Now, we can live like this in our personal lives, but do we live like this with God? And I think the reason that I'm so provoked is because God challenges me. God oftentimes, when I'm praying or reading or just driving in my car, he challenges me about things in my personal life, things in our marriage, things in our student ministry, different areas. And you know, as we take a look, I've become to notice that even in our student ministry, oftentimes, this priority of coming to church, this priority in being involved in youth or being involved in young adults or getting into small groups or whatever it might be, kind of takes a back seat to other areas in our life. We see it in our students coming. We see it in Sunday morning attendance. Or we see it in the number of people, if I'm just being frank, that call Promised Land their home church and the number of people that actually serve here on Sunday mornings. Vastly different. And it makes me ask the question, are we having more than enough? You know, there's some statistics that I want to read to you this morning, and all I'm trying to do right now is just kind of lay a foundation. We're going somewhere, so just lean in and keep riding with me for just a little while. But I read a statistic that says that the average American Christian reads their Bible on average 12 minutes a month. 12 minutes of Bible reading a month. That means you take 30 or 31 days and you divide it by 12. We're talking less than a minute a day. I also found the Washington Post did this thing. It was like back in 2016, so I'm sure these numbers have adjusted some. But they took different activities, different kind of like groupings, and they did these like across America, how much time people spent doing certain things. Right? And I wish I could have put them up here for you, but they map out all of America, and the darker spots show kind of the more dense of that activity, and then the lighter spots are some of the lighter ones. And so I screenshot some of them. The first one is average daily time spent on leisure activities across America. The fewest, the very fewest was 4 hours and 27 minutes. The most was 6 hours and 8 minutes, making your average time somewhere around 5.5 hours of leisure activities. The average daily time spent watching TV, and the very fewest, the lowest number of all the states, 2 hours and 3 minutes a day. The highest, 3 hours and 38 minutes a day on average per state, which would make the average for our country somewhere around 3 hours a day people spend watching TV. Another one was spent grooming, like shaving your beard and fixing your hair. I mean, I don't know what else you consider, maybe doing your nails or makeup or whatever, but grooming. The minimum that a state spends on average grooming themselves is 28 minutes. The most is 1 hour and 46 minutes. I don't know what that state, maybe that's like LA or something. They probably spend a lot of time grooming over there. But on average, people spend 46 minutes a day grooming. Grooming. There was leisure activities. And then the average time daily spent on religious activities. And it's funny because, and I wish I could show you, but maybe I'll work on having it up for the 10, but that they show you the map, right? And then right above, it'll say like religious activities, and then there'll be like a little headline. It'll be like, Utah doesn't watch TV or something. You know what I mean? Like each one of them, right? For the religious one, it says average daily time spent on religious activities, and right under it says no surprise here, period. At the far minimum that a state on average spends on religious activities daily, including Sunday morning church, according to the Washington Post, is 2 minutes. The very highest, which is like the Bible Belt, Louisiana, Mississippi, Georgia, 17 minutes. Texas, on average, 11 minutes. On religious activities. Now, I didn't get up on here this fine Sunday morning to try to bash you with statistics or make us feel down or low, but like I said, I'm trying to set a platform here. I'm trying to set a foundation to give you a perspective of what the world really looks like. Because if we want to sugarcoat things and we want to present to you a message that says that the gospel and the work of Christ is just radically taking over this nation, I think we'd be fooling ourselves a little bit. Now, don't get it twisted. I do believe that the gospel has the power to, and that a lot of amazing things are happening across the world. Jesus is still saving and moving because there is people who are carrying the high end of all of those things, who really press in into the presence of God and the power of God, who really are faithful. Even just here in our church alone in Promised Land, we could tell you time and story and person and after person who lead small groups, who visit hospitals, who pray for people they come in contact with. I'm not saying that religion is completely dead and gone, or I'm not saying we're in this state of emergency, but I want to paint for you a real picture of what the world really looks like to help you introspectively be honest with yourself and say, what is my relationship with God really like? We have to ask those tough questions. They have to be provoked, because if not, we can put ourselves on a pedestal and tell ourselves, because I do this here and there, because, you know, I'm somewhat a good person, or because, you know, I give or whatever, it's going to check these boxes, and God is just going to maybe allow me to slide into heaven through the VIP section. But that's not what the kingdom of heaven is like. I want to tell you that we have to place a priority on presence. We have to place a priority on prayer. We have to place a priority on proximity with God. Everything else should come second. We have to learn how to live and think differently. I wrote this, and I'll just read it to you, but it says, there's a culture and a mentality that's sweeping across churches in our Western culture that is being full of presence is not meaningful, much less a priority. God provides an opportunity for us to be full of Him, His presence, and His power. Yet time and time again, we settle with the bare minimum, if anything at all. According to those alarming statistics, a lot of Christians and most Americans live their lives nowhere even close to being filled up with God. And if we pay close attention to the scripture we read at the beginning, we will see that Jesus calls the people who are all the way filled up foolish. Can I paint that picture for you? That according to these statistics, most people live at the bare minimum of Christ in their life. And according to the parable that we read in the beginning, when Jesus talks about people who were all the way filled, he calls those people foolish. So I ask myself, what does he call me? Because I know that not all the time, even as a pastor, am I filled up. Make it clear, there was 10 people who showed up to this wedding to be these light bearers. All of them had lamps that were completely full with the oil that they needed. Yet 5 of them were still considered foolish. 5 of them were wise. You know what separated them? The ones who had a little bit extra. I think that Jesus in this parable is not only talking about his return, but he's trying to make a point that our life as Christians weren't just meant to live full, but it's meant to live from the overflow. And I want to, over the next maybe few moments, present to you what a life looks like when lived out of the overflow. Someone say overflow. There's a lesson here that Jesus was trying to show us, and I believe he's speaking to the importance of not only being full, but overflowing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says, "And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others." That's in the NLT. The Passion Translation says, same scripture this way, and I like this translation. It says, "Yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace, so that you will have more than enough," someone say more than enough, "of everything, every moment in every way." This is my favorite part. "And he will make you overflow with abundance for every good thing you do." He will make you overflow so that you can do every good work he's called you to. I want you to get this picture here. Because it's important that you understand that God allows, he pours himself in you, not just to the brim, but the Bible says that he makes it spill over, and out of the overflow is every good work you should do. I brought this lesson here for you today. For some of you who might be visual learners, I'm a visual learner, okay? I want to present some things to you. This here is your life. This here is the world around you. This here is God and all his water. Okay? Now, we have an understanding, and I hope you guys can see over here. If you can't, I'm so sorry. Let me move this out. This is important. I want you to see it. Okay. So, this is God and his water. This is life around you, but this is your particular life right here. According to statistics, okay, 11 to 12 minutes of prayer, 11 minutes a month of Bible reading, right? We as Christians want to be filled up with God. There's a passion for it. We talk about it. People preach about it. Fill me up, God. Oh, fill me up, right? All these things. But according to statistics, this is what we're doing. We're trying to be filled up, yet we're doing this. Oh, here's 30 seconds here. Oh, I'm going to pray over my food here. Oh, fill me up, God. Oh, I went to church on Sunday, all 3 services. Fill me up, God. It's going to smell really good for some of you out here. And we're surprised. And then people say, oh, serve at church. Oh, I need you to pray for me. I need you to tithe. I need you to give. Okay, well, let me give what God I have to the people around me. Let me give what God I have to the family who needs. Let me try to give more of God that I have to the needy. And then we look at life and we're like, why are we so hurting and broken? Why can't anything get right? And I keep praying and praying, and it's like God is not listening, and nothing is changing. And then there's another type of person, which is good. And maybe we actually press in a little bit, right? And we actually press into God, and we allow God to fill us up. And maybe we pray a little bit more, and we spend some time in small groups, and we serve at church, and we really pursue God, and we have these worship moments, and we fervently pray, and God fills us up. And this is five of those people. Five of the ladies that came, five of the bridesmaids look like this. And from the surface, this looks good because we're full of God. But then life comes. And you're asked to serve, and you're asked to go through biblical principles, but not in the place of getting close to Jesus, not in the place of knowing him on such a level that you can feel tangibly his presence, not knowing him in such a way where he changes things in your life. Can I tell you something this morning? We don't need any more self-help books, any more YouTube videos. We don't need any more, 50 ways to become successful. We don't need another good motivational speaker on TikTok. We need the presence of God, because there's things that are going on in your life. I'm just so passionately believe. And you know, before I get up here and say this to you, God tells me this, and sometimes it's a hard pill for me to swallow, because I realize the things that I get sucked into. I realize the things that I run to, and it's not always Jesus, and it's not always prayer. I try to find success in other things. I try to find ways to fix problems in my life with things that don't have the ability to. Even things that are good still have to bow in comparison to the presence of Jesus. We have to put life into perspective. We have to put our lives into perspective. And if we're going to be honest with ourselves in our evaluation, what is taking priority in your life? Is it the presence of God? Is it his power? The love that he gives? Are you living based on just barely enough? Or are you living out of the overflow? Is there anyone in here this morning that knows what it feels like to live out of the overflow? The band can come back up. I have just a few more things that I want to say. You know, it's out of the overflow, according to the Bible, where we should minister. And it's out of the overflow where miracles are birthed, and where dreams come from, where visions come from, where addictions and sin is broken, where marriages come back to life, where churches grow, where God can turn cities upside down. God has called us to live in the overflow, yet we stay with the spray bottles and spurts and wonder why things are the way they are. Sometimes we try to minister, parent, love people, pray for family with mist, and all it's doing is emptying us out. Why it feels like we can't overcome sin, why it feels like God isn't answering our prayers, why it feels like that marriage is ending, why it feels like that relationship with the son or daughter will never change, why it feels like our finances can't get on track. We don't need another book club or 12-step. We don't need another session of acupuncture. We have a world that doesn't need more YouTube videos or self-help conferences or get-rich-quick schemes, which all may be helpful in some way, but fall very, very short of the fullness and power of God. More than we need anything, we need to be overflowing with the Spirit of God. And we need believers who don't make excuses, they make time. And we need believers who don't just wait for Sundays, but they wait every day of the week on God's glory. And we need believers who don't just seek success, but they seek first the kingdom of God. We get so full of that, so full of what God has for us, that miracles have to happen, that things have to change, that signs and wonders have to follow. Is there anyone in here today that would say, God, I want more?
Fill me up till I overflow. How do we overflow? We make God the most important thing in our life. You can't overflow without intimacy. You can't overflow without intimacy. How do we know that? Because the second part of that scripture we read at the beginning, it says the bridesmaids got up with their lamps. The five foolish ones asked the others, please give me some of your oil because our lamps are going out. Verse 7 and 8 says, all the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones who were only filled asked the others who brought extra, please give us some because our oil is going out on our lamps. When you don't live out of the overflow, you will inevitably run dry. You will inevitably get tired and weary. You will inevitably fall back into the sin cycle that has held you captive for so long. You will inevitably get so frustrated with your spouse that you just can't take it anymore. You will inevitably give up and feel like prayer is not working. When you don't live out of the overflow, it's a matter of time before you start questioning, what am I doing? Why am I here? This thing with God even real? Is it working? Verse 9 says, but the others replied, we don't have enough for all of us. So go to a shop and buy some for yourself. Verse 10 says, but while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in, and the door was locked. Here's the consequence of running dry. When we run dry, we have to leave where God has placed us to try to get filled somewhere else. When you run dry, you have to leave the place God has put you to try to fill what is now empty. The Bible says that when he showed up, only five of them were there, that he welcomed the five in and locked the door. And it says the five others came running back. They were out of position. And they were knocking on the door, please let us in. Lord, Lord. And then he said, go away. I don't know who you are. When we're out of the place that God has for us, because we're now empty, we miss the purpose. You don't get the purpose without the position, without the posture, without the placement. See, God has us in certain places to do certain things, but what happens is we don't fill our life so much with him. We try to fill it with other things. We become empty and tired and lonely and broken, and so we have to leave where God has placed us, but when you leave the placement, you forfeit the purpose. And now it's time for the bridegroom to come. And you're nowhere to be found because you're trying to refill on something that only God can give you. And we see God say, go. I don't know who you are. There's a direct correlation between being allowed in and him knowing you. That's what's called intimacy. Family, this morning, I want to challenge you because I look out of here and I know so many of you on a personal level and I know that you're good people. But can I just be real with you that sometimes being a good person isn't enough? I would not be doing my job if I sugarcoated it and said that you can do this life of faith absence of the presence of God. It just doesn't work that way. More than I want people who are hungry for their life to look good or hungry for success or hungry to serve or even hungry to give, I want people who are hungry for the presence of God, hungry to just get in the Word, hungry to fall down to our knees and pray, quick to respond with prayer, quick to be full of faith and do the things God's called them to do, to take the next step, to start that ministry, to plant that church, to go and do what God has called you to do. But you can't do it empty. Can I even be really honest? You can't even do it full. Those things can only be done out of the overflow. Imagine what our church would look like if we had hundreds of people operating out of the overflow of the Spirit. And the good news with God is that it's never too late to start. So regardless of where you are right now or this morning, I'm going to ask that you would stand with me and that we would worship this morning just a little bit more, and that we would ask God to fill us in a way that He's never filled us before, to a level that maybe we've never allowed Him to fill us, that we would cry out and say, God, my soul hungers for You. I want You in such a way, God. I want You to fill me up. I want to overflow with love, overflow with joy, overflow with peace, overflow with ministry, overflow with life, overflow in abundance, overflow with giftings. Come on, God has called you to things. Don't forfeit them. Don't give them up because you're tired, but press in. Allow the Spirit of God to just move in such a way. Some people need to be desperate for the Holy Spirit. You don't need more volunteers. You don't need more help. You just need to be filled to the point of overflow with the Spirit of God. When's the last time you were just desperate? Come on, listen, you're not watching me anymore. You're engaging on your own. Come on, with every hand lifted if you're willing and able, with every head bowed and eye closed, is there anybody in here this morning that is willing to just say, God, I want You, so much of You, more than I've ever experienced before. Come on.
Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for the presence that we feel. God, I thank You for each and every person that's in here or that is watching online. God, we thank You that You reign above every situation. Lord, I pray that You would reveal to us what is in our life that doesn't need to be there. God, help us to flow out of the overflow. Help us to live out of the overflow. And Lord, if there's anyone in here or that is watching online or listening to a podcast right now, God, I pray right now that You would, that they would release their life to You. If there's somebody that doesn't know You, that they would release their life to You, or that they're stagnant, God, that they would lean into You, knowing that You're above and beyond any situation we face. God, for those that don't know You, I pray that they would simply just say, God, I believe that You came to this earth, wrapped Yourself in flesh, and that You died on the cross so that I may have life and have a relationship with You. Lord, we thank You for all that You're doing, all that You're going to continue to do. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says amen. Amen. Real quickly, if you'd have a seat, we're going to continue our worship and giving, and whether you're online or you're in the building, we believe that giving is worship. And our online team is going to post for you, those that are watching online. But those that are in the building, you can see on the screen there's several ways you can give. And as you can see, you can give online 24 hours, 7 days a week to psmchurch.com. You can text the word Promised Land to 73256. And again, and for those that are watching or those that are in the building, you can mail it in to our San Marcos location at 1650 Limekill Road. And for those that are in here, as soon as you walk out of the building in those black boxes, you may place it in there. We're so thankful that you are here today. If this is your first time, we know that you could have been anywhere on a Sunday morning, but we're glad that you're here today, and we want to welcome you. We also want to hear from you. In the seat back in front of you, for those that are, again, in here in the building, you will see a Connect card. We want to hear from you. We want to hear how you heard from us, if you gave your life to Jesus for the first time. We want to celebrate with you. If you'd like to be baptized, if you'd like to find out more about the church, we would love to help you. Also, those that are watching online, there's a link for that too. We're so thankful again that you're here today. Can we stand? You can get your exercise today. Again, thank you for being here today. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. Take care.